Well, it is a pleasure to be with you again. I admit that we've been absent more than we idealize, but we haven't just been vacationing, and so it's just good to be back again. Last Sunday, I thought we'd be here for the first time in a while, and then my mom's cousin from Yoder died, so we thought we'd attend that funeral until I tested positive for COVID. And so we stayed home from both church and the funeral. So after a string of being absent, it is good to be with you again today. Mark's leading us in thinking about community and what community means. I just want to kind of acknowledge the richness that I have benefited from this community in the last year. And I guess, to be exact, 2 days from today, or on the 19th, I had my last chemo treatment and had some scans done a week and a half ago. If the Lord wills, as I hope, as I trust He does, the cancer is gone. But we won't know for sure. If that indeed is the case, I am scheduled for some elective surgery on my knee, one of my knees, on January the 4th. Invite your prayers. Neither Twyla nor Merle's experienced me who look forward to it, but I look forward to what it might feel like later. So we'll trust the Lord for that. And I want to just again thank the congregation here for your generosity this past year. People who, not just from this community, who sent letters, who sent even sent money, people that I couldn't have put a name to, have never met, just a real gift to be cared for that way. Well, this morning, as Brother Dwight has mentioned, my topic is that I've been assigned is the function of a deacon. Daryl read Jesus' words this morning. Actually, it was Jesus' words too. I think maybe you quoted him from the Old Testament. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." I thought to myself, Jesus would have made an excellent deacon. In some ways, the function of a deacon is perhaps more of a pastoral care than preaching the gospel, as Jesus referred to himself here, and. So the reason for ordaining deacons is because we have scriptural precedent, and so I'd like for you to turn with me to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read for the first seven verses, and this is the story about the introduction of deacons in the New Testament. I won't make a lot of comments at this point. Later, I'd like to come back and refer to this passage then. But to begin with, I'd like to start in reading verse 1 of chapter 6 in Acts. "And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, 'It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Well, as you know, as we are, this, our congregation here is in the process of choosing from within our brotherhood someone who is to fill the role of deacon in place of Brother Keith, as since we have given our blessing to him and Miriam serving as administrator at Faith Mission, it seemed important that we have someone else that can take on that role in the interim, and then trust the Lord for the future, whatever that future may look like. We thank Keith for the way he has served our body as deacon for a little over 6.5 years, and a thanks to Miriam as well for the way she has stood by and has blessed and made Keith's work doable. And then a thanks to the children for doing your part in making so that your father could serve others. Like I mentioned, the subject is this message is the function of the deacon. What does he do and what does he contribute to the health of the body? There's sort of two prongs to this question, I think. The one is the function. How does he carry out that job? And secondly, what function does it provide? What does his role as deacon provide? How does it function within the body? How does it meet the needs of the health, or provides for the health of the body? I grant that Scripture is actually a bit limited to tell us exactly what a deacon's role ought to be. There are many underlying principles, ideas about how we work with each other and so forth that we can glean from. But as far as a clear, this is how the deacon ought to do, is something that we don't read much of. However, in verse 2 of the passage I just read, it refers to one thing in particular that was troublesome in the early church, and that was that there was some disparity between the way that the Grecians felt they were being treated as compared to the Hebrews, and so the apostles said, it's not reason that we should leave preaching the word and that we should serve tables. Good move. Now, by doing that, I don't think the apostles were minimizing the value of serving tables. By the way, I'm interested that the term serving tables, if I understand it correctly, means it was they apparently had a daily ministration. They would give food in particular to the widows, and so somehow apparently the Grecians at least felt like they were getting a smaller portion, it seemed like. And so rather than the apostles deciding, rather than making themselves taking charge of that, they said we should find others to do it. Now, most of the translations, even the modern ones, refer to it as serving tables. Found that interesting. There are at least two exceptions. One is the NLT, the New Living Translation, says run a food program. And ESV speaks about the daily distribution. I think Amplified also speaks about food distribution. Anyhow, so there was a problem. And they were trying to bring some equity into the discussion. Now, I find it also very interesting that while these men were men who were to look after the daily administration, the ones that they were supposed to, you know, see after the physical needs of the widows, two of them in particular shone as outstanding. Stephen, for being filled with the Holy Ghost, and later we learned about Philip and his work as an evangelist, at least at some level. And so I think we have that example that shows us that a person can also be a good teacher. He can be an evangelist, and he can be a good deacon too. So it's not like we are like we are just looking for one kind of person. But according to the passage here, the main reason for the deacon was to be able to meet the needs of people. In our Dutch, the term we use for deacon simply means the minister to the poor or of the poor. And I believe is the right term. If you can stand a little bit of humor, I'm told of a little Amish boy who saw the ministers go to their room ahead of the service, and he turned to his dad and he said, "Was ish was dunde ame dingo dat drova." Well, for those of you that simply means, what do those poor fellows do up there? It's a play on Dutch words that helps if you understand Dutch. But anyhow, that's the term that we used. I looked it up. Now that is Pennsylvania Dutch, according to at least Google Translate. It is the German would be Diakon or something like that. Paul Bubisch, where are you? Sorry. Do you know what that is? Diakon. Okay. Well, I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Yeah. So, but anyhow, in our Dutch, it's very explicit. It is a person who serves poor people. Now, this past year, I was a recipient of a $5,000 check from the Alms Fund, and I was a poor man. I'm figuring out at one point, I needed help. And so I was blessed by that. We have certainly expanded the role of the deacon quite a bit from just taking care of the poor. But that, I think it's fair for us to go back and look at what the scripture actually teaches about what the deacon's role is. But then I'm also thankful that we have the example of Stephen and Philip, who don't just confine a deacon to doing just one thing. And I would emphasize again that I don't think the apostles were demeaning the role of deacon when they said, "We're not going to stoop to that." I don't think that's what they were saying. I think they were saying that it is not right for us to leave the ministry of the word to settle disputes that others can do. And so it is a case, again, I think, of the body working together. And I had really hoped to develop that a little bit more than what I'll be able to. But the role of the deacon is really to help enhance the life of the body. And over time, the assignment of deacon has been expanded quite a bit and include a number of other things that we deem important for the health and well-being of the body. And I think, again, it is just always good for us to periodically step back and say, are we doing it right? Are there ways that we can do something better? And I'm going to read to you the charge that I am assuming I gave Brother Keith when he when he took the when he was ordained deacon. It was the one that I received. There may be a slight variation, but I'll read to you what the charge sounds like, or what the charge is, I should say. I herewith, in the name of Jesus Christ and his church, ordain you to the office of deacon to which you have been called. It will now be your duty to receive and take care of the charities of the church, to distribute them to needy members according to their necessities, to visit the sick, the widows, and the orphans, and comfort them and pray with them in their afflictions, also to assist the bishop in administration of baptism and the Lord's Supper, to bear testimony to the truth in their public ministrations, and for any reason, no other, and when for any reason no other minister is present where the people meet for public worship, it will be your duty to conduct the services by reading, exhortation, and prayer. Where strife or difficulties arise in the church or between brethren and sisters, it will be your duty to use your utmost endeavors to bring about reconciliation and restore unity and peace. Be faithful to the Lord, and he will endow you with wisdom and understanding from on high, give you grace to do his work, and bless you in all your duties. The grace of God be with you. Amen. Now, I just thought that for Dwight, you may decide to modify that charge. I don't know, but it's the typical charge that the Mennonite Church has been giving to deacons for many, many years. Well, in 1990, I was ordained to the office of deacon and served in that role until May of 96, when I was ordained to replace Brother Amos. In those 6 years, I had accumulated a variety of responsibilities that were then assigned to my co-ministers, or most of them were assigned to co-ministers in the interim till we had a deacon ordination 5 years later when Brother Ronald was ordained. I thought it would be interesting to you to hear the list that I made, some of these things you can identify with, some of them you may not. And Keith, I would be interested in what else you picked up besides these that have collected over the years. But here's the list. To administer the alms fund, serve as a CAP board member. Back then, we were just starting with maternity aid, so that was the deacon's responsibility. Sunday school reorganization, seeing to the ballots. The notes or minutes from the minister's meetings. Meals for families with newborn babies. Preparing communion bread. Offering collection, offering distribution, chairing the business meeting, and back then the deacon was responsible, I think, for travel reimbursements to see to it that happened for the leadership team, taking care of the bulletin board, cleaning it up when it needs cleaning up. And back then, for some reason, I had down blood bank, so apparently that was the role of the deacon then. And then church calendars as well. Well, as this indicates, not everybody needs to be ordained to do some of this work. At least Angela didn't need an ordination to do the to see to the blood drive, and Brother Harold and Judith have faithfully done the church calendar. So Keith, you may have some other things you'd like to add, but you can see this is a bit of an expansion from the New Testament serving of tables that has come with it. So have we added things that could be shared? One thing that has happened for this congregation that's been a real blessing is the deacon committee that serves with the deacons, and By the way, Laverne, I'm not forgetting you. I'll mention your name soon enough. I mean, not soon enough, but again, a little later. But if you have comments too, I'd invite your comments, because I just loved serving with you those years that we were served together. Well, this list that I have read is not an exhaustive list. In fact, if you remember what I read here, it spoke about the responsibility of the deacon for working if there's relational conflicts, it was his job to see to that. I applaud our stance on that. We don't load the deacon up with all the hard work anymore like at one point we would have. And maybe it's because for 6 years we had a little bit of a lazy deacon, I'm not sure, but it was that. I think we just saw the value of more of the pastoral team being involved in those things instead of just one man. And my hat is off to all of my co-ministers who are willing to step into those hard situations and work with them. So the list is that I made here is not exhaustive. In some churches, in our circles, the treasurer is the deacon. And in some cases, he's also a school board member, sort of a permanent school board member, and serves as the treasurer for both the church and the school. There is, of course, I mentioned the exhortation part and the peacemaking. By the way, one of the qualifications is not peace loving, but peacemaking. And I'll let Laverne develop that when he has. That's a bit more of his topic than mine. Well, we would agree that if the things in this list up here would be ignored, if someone wouldn't be doing those things, it just would leave some gaps in the functioning of a body. I think the question that we want to be sensitive to is, do we have it placed properly in the lap of primarily one person? And those are things that can be looked at, can be discussed, and so the role of the deacon, the function of the deacon, is, I think, in some ways, is very similar to a maintenance department in a business. It could be that. There's probably other ways. Maybe I think of that because I have worked in maintenance for many years. It may not be the job that gets the attention quite the same way that administration does, but it's pretty important to maintain equipment, to keep things going, to make things work. And so I think the role of deacon is sort of that behind the scenes kind of thing that keeps things going. I didn't compare the list of 37 years ago with Keith's and Miriam's current list, but I'm just invite him to do that. Still a lot of similarities. In a narrow sense, the early deacons were ordained to aid the equitable distribution of material aid, plain and simple. That's what the ordination was about. Now, we again, like I mentioned, we have the example of these two, at least these two, who branched out and who were effective in other ways. Of course, Stephen, unfortunately, was not effective very long in life, but his death, his martyrdom, has stood as a shining example of a committed man to the purposes of God. Well, even as material aid was a crucial component of the church life back back then, other things seem important to us to maintain a well-rounded and smoothly functioning body. And I think that's why we've just sort of kept, if something comes up, it's sort of easy to say, well, that's a deacon. That's a deacon responsibility. And so we sort of have this convenient way of delineating what the deacon's role is, and could be challenged. Now in Acts, I find something very interesting. Back to Acts 6, then it says in verse 6 and 7, whether this is coincidental or not, I don't know. But listen to this again. Whom they set, this is speaking about the seven men, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Is it just coincidental that after the church saw the need to take care of this important facet of church life, that the Lord seemed to bless? Now, I don't want to make a huge case out of it, but if you stop and think about what it would be like if a body does not function well, and it just sort of seems to me like up until this point, the early church was trying to find their way. They had the truth out there, and people were being saved, and that's some good ideas, ideas that we have long since discarded about community. And I'm not sure that we've done ourselves a favor by how far we have discarded that idea. But there is still a gap somewhere here. In all of their effort to try and provide community, they missed one thing, and that was equitability between the at least in the percept by the through the perception of some. And so I find it interesting then that after they had ordained these deacons, this it follows up right here and talks about the increase. And so is it simply a coincidence, or was it a function of the church coming of age that they provided deacons? I would say it could be either, or it could be both. But I will point out that in the scriptures there is quite a bit of evidence that God cares a lot about the those who are less fortunate. And this morning, just the tenor of this service this morning, it just felt to me like the Lord was reminding us of how good He is and how much He cares for everyone. I just saw it through a thread. I felt through the service. And so if we look back at the Old Testament, the scriptures and the treatment of those less fortunate was a value that God stated over and over again. And if you would look in Leviticus 23, 22, I'm just going to read that because I think that would be, let me get that. Leviticus speaks about the importance in verse 22 of chapter 23, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now, what we consider to be good stewardship, and just, you know, make sure that the combine is set right and that we harvest every corner of the field, would have been a questionable practice back in the Old Testament. But that's because people went looking. People would follow the reapers. And the folks who didn't have enough would follow the reapers and find and find grain that was left, or heads of grain that they could take home and could make bread of themselves. And you'll remember how that Boaz told the reapers to actually drop some when he was, I think, frankly, he had his eye on Ruth already, and it was his way of, it was at least part of his way of courting her. But it was because God cared for the less fortunate. And it seems to me that if somehow we can understand the value that God places on that, that is why they had that's why they had a daily ministration, I believe, in the first place in the New Testament church. And then they bring in they didn't get it quite right, and so now they put people in charge of that. And the ratio of apostles to deacons is sort of an interesting one. I don't know for sure if there were 12 apostles, there were over half as many deacons. So they took it seriously. And so there is that blessing that comes to a body, I believe, when we take care of those who are less fortunate. In Exodus 23, verse 11, it talks about the seventh year. You remember the year of Jubilee when you were not supposed to harvest, where everything was supposed to rest? Now, I had forgotten that the one reason, at least for that, was that they should let it rest, that the poor may eat. And so I don't know, did the poor get to harvest the volunteer wheat and store it for the next few years, or what happened there? But I found that instructive. There's other passages that emphasize the importance of that. In Deuteronomy 15:7, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart to shut thine hand from thy poor brother. And I think this is one place that we continue to learn how to help those who are less fortunate. And Marietta and Carol are sort of at the front lines of this and get to see it a little more up front. And I know that those are not people inside of our church, but they are people with less means. And while we think of poverty, we typically tend to define poverty as scarcity of material goods. I think we learn that poverty has a lot of different faces. And for us, if it were just providing finances for those less fortunate, that would be fairly simple. But to help people who experience poverty at a different level, at a spiritual, at an emotional, and at just the way they think, is something that we are called to do. And so this, I believe, is certainly a part of the deacon's role. In my mind, it is possible that as the early church rounded out their gospel with the important element of societal well-being, as the scriptures teach, that God demonstrated his blessing to the church and it expanded. And I just, again, would like to emphasize the value, the importance. This is a principle that of taking care of the less fortunate. This is something that reaches back a long ways in time, that God taught his people to do this. And so I think it is important for us to think about that and to remind ourselves that that is actually the deacon's role, is that part of it. And maybe some of the other things we've tacked on like blood drives and so forth, maybe it can be passed off to other people. But I am, but the idea that we have someone who takes responsibility for these, for that part of the church is I believe important. I would like to just close with a couple more comments that do not have to do with something that I can read from Scripture, but I'm going to reference a comment of an elderly deacon back in the he was a deacon that lived or that died when I was about 7 years old. His name was Pete Wagler. And Pete made a comment, I'm told, I didn't hear him, but that there is wisdom in a deacon having some age to him. And I'm assuming it might have been because more of life's experience. So I did just a quick little tabulation of these, of the last four deacons that were ordained in this church. And here's how it stacks up for age. Ronald was the youngest at 36, and then I was next at 38, Keith at 40, and Laverne at 51. Am I right, Laverne? And Laverne would not have considered himself that eligible, probably, because of his age when he was ordained. But let me tell you something. The 15 to 20 years that you served Laverne as deacon were some very profitable times for this body, deacon-wise. And I just, my hat is off to you for the way you stepped in at that age. And this is not, I'm not trying to sell anybody short that is younger than 36 at all. Please understand. All I'm saying is that older men with experience can fill this role and can fill it well. And Laverne demonstrated that, and as has Keith, and just greatly appreciate that. I'm going to have invited Keith to make comments, but I think I'll let him do that after Dwight, and then Laverne as well, after Dwight closes, or when he's ready to close the service. Well, the function of the deacon, I believe, is very closely tied to the ability of a body to function well. And can we, I mean, I think, as I talked about the different roles that the deacon plays in our church, maybe it's time for a reset. Maybe we should be thinking about some things a little differently to not put quite so much. And yet, I have not heard Keith or Laverne ever complain about the deacon's role. And I will admit that that the 6 years that I served as deacon were the most delightful years of my ministry. It was where it felt like I fit. But the Lord saw other things, and so here we were, I should say. And I just thank the Lord for the way that he's then kept providing for this body the way that he has. Let's kneel and pray. Eternal Father, we are so grateful for the ways that you teach us about how to live in a body. Not only that you teach us that, you've shown us by example through the apostles and those who've gone before us how to have a body that functions well, and there is just simply work that happens that it seems a bit unspiritual sometimes, but it's because that's what makes life work. And we pray a special blessing on the process that we think about, that we pray about in the choosing of a deacon to join the leadership team in the next month or so. Just ask your guidance on Dwight and the rest of the team as they lead out in this process. Glorify yourself by making this body whole and complete with the hearts and the hands of people who are committed to serving you. In Jesus' name, amen.